Welcome to another episode of Teaching Restored, where we help gospel teachers become more effective teachers and teach better and have better experiences all the way around. I'm Kevin Jones.
I'm Julie Hilliard, and I'm excited about today's topic, but it's going to be a little bit more kind of concrete in terms of some of the suggestions that we're going to make rather than kind of, you know, we talk sometimes about things that that aren't necessarily quite as skill focused. And this is a little bit kind of skill focused, if that makes sense. And so I'm hoping that it'll be useful. We've talked in our podcast a few different times about receiving feedback. And we've talked about how valuable feedback is. We've talked about how it's the breakfast of champions. We've talked about how to seek or elicit feedback. We've talked about how to allow that to kind of guide our classes. But what we've never talked about is how to give feedback. And so, Kevin, let me ask you a question. What are some of the scenarios where you might feel the need to offer feedback? What are, like, most people might be going, well, why would I ever need to give somebody feedback? Like, I don't really understand why, where that would ever come into play or why that skill is ever something that I would really need to worry about. I mean, obviously in places other than teaching, but why would we talk about it on the podcast?
No, Julie. This is something that I struggle with.
Okay.
I typically don't give feedback. I won't give feedback. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give feedback if someone does something really well.
That's easy.
Yeah. Cause it's easy. Right. Yeah. And I want them to understand that they're doing a great job. Wonderful. And how it affects me. And I think that's important. But if there is some negative feedback, I typically won't. I'll just kind of keep it to myself and just think, that was interesting.
Okay. So why wouldn't you give it though? What stops you?
Is it my place to?
Okay.
That's one of the big ones. Is it my place to? Another one is that it may be, for example, an off day for that person. And I want to give the person grace that, that didn't work so well.
Okay.
But if I have stewardship over someone to actually do that, then that kind of blows both of those scenarios out of the water. I'll give feedback no matter what. But if I am just in a class, for example, and I'm listening and I think, wow, that just didn't work. You're putting everyone to sleep. I'm not going to go up. You know what?
Right.
Sister so-and-so, you're putting everyone to sleep or you're alienating people. That's not appropriate.
Totally.
So my thoughts about giving feedback.
Okay, so I hear you saying that you're asking yourself, is it even my place? Another question is that, or another thought is, well, I should just give grace. Maybe it was an off day. So I would suggest that you're probably right. Like, we don't necessarily need to give feedback to people about something that they did badly in terms of like their methods or their delivery or something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. So what are some scenarios where, and you mentioned one just a second ago, if it's your stewardship,
right?
What are some other scenarios when you might need to give feedback? Pause. If it's your stewardship, then yeah, you have to, and you still don't want to, correct?
Correct.
So I think that it's important that we remember that at some point in our lives, all of us are probably going to be in a position of stewardship over something wherein we're going to need to deliver some kind of feedback. And it's hard. So like, this is a skill that we all need because it can be valuable in that regard because of our stewardship. But what are some other instances where you might feel like it's constructive, productive, appropriate for you to offer feedback? Can you think of any?
Yes. Let's say, for example, let's say in a missionary setting, if it bombed, if, you know, we had a discussion and it just went down a dark path or, you know, it became really combative or whatever it is. Yeah. And Darth Vader comes out and you're like, holy cow, you know, that's not what we were looking for. Then it may be time to, you know, step back and say, wow, that really didn't go where we wanted it to. What can we do? What can we do better next time? And have a discussion around that. I think it's a lot easier to give that kind of feedback when everyone realizes, wow, that didn't go well. Or, you know, everyone who's teaching and we acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. Or if even beforehand we say, this is what we're going to do, a debrief on the discussion afterwards mm-hmm. as well. Which mm-hmm. is, you know, for example, what missionaries do. They'll have a discussion with a friend, and then afterwards they'll say, how did it go? And give positive, negative feedback and, you know, what they can do better. So they have set up a culture of receiving and giving feedback. That isn't the culture typically in just like a Sunday school classroom or Young Men's, Young Women's Relief Society, et cetera, classroom. That kind of feedback is not typically sought for nor part of what we expect. So I think it's a little harder in those circumstances.
So it would be harder if it was countercultural versus if it was something that the culture sustains. So if you've kind of created a culture where feedback is part of it, right? I like that you also said, like, if you're involved in it, sometimes it's easier to offer feedback because you were involved in what didn't go well. And then it's not like finger pointing, rather it's collaborative, like what could we have done better, and debriefing. Yeah. So, but you are in a debrief still giving feedback.
Can I give an example of that?
I'd love it.
I was teaching a friend with the missionaries.
Okay.
And he was wanting to be baptized. He was going down this path of, yes, I want to be baptized. And then we came across one of the commandments that he didn't know about, that he wasn't keeping. And then he said, yeah, great, I'll be happy to keep that commandment. Wonderful. That's good to hear. You know, missionaries always do that. We're kind of wondering how this is going to go, but it went well. Well, later on, we find out that he is keeping the commandment, yet he's in a position where it's really easy not to keep the commandment. And we had to say, if you're in that circumstance, you can't be baptized. You need to be away from it. And he's like, and basically what he said is, no 18-year-old kid is going to tell me if I'm worthy or not. Forget this. I'm out.
Wow.
And it went down just like that. Yeah. And so he left, and then the missionaries and I sat there and said, well, what did we do? And the missionary said, wow, I could have approached that very differently. And I said, yeah, you could have. And here's some different ways. Would it have gone the same way? It very well may have.
Right.
But it's good to learn from. And so mm-hmm. it was a really positive discussion around something that didn't go well.
Right. Okay. So I love that example. And I think that it's instructive because when something really does not go well and we see it, don't you think that that's valuable? It sounds to me like what you're describing, that the missionary was actually grateful for the opportunity to debrief.
Yes.
And go, absolutely. Whoa, I totally could have handled that differently. And I think that they're like, that people really do appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, as I'm hearing you say this, like, there aren't a lot of scenarios where I would say, that it's, what's the word, that we would be like totally out of line giving some constructive feedback that was within our stewardship. Like, if you are, in a discussion, I would even say that that's part of your stewardship. That's really, really easy. I do think that there are times when it's not appropriate. So I'm not suggesting that these skills ought to be applied and that you ought to like name yourself the like giver of feedback to everybody or anything like that. But I thought a little bit about some of the scenarios where it might be appropriate that are a little bit more sensitive. For example, if something that somebody says offends you, you have two choices. Mm-hmm. You can let it stew. Like, let's say they've said something in a class, or, you were even the teacher of that class and you offended somebody and they wanted to give you feedback. So they have two choices. One is that they can kind of let it stew. Another is that they can process it with other people. And another is that they can come and talk to you directly. And I think I would much prefer to speak with somebody directly. I would prefer to have them come to me and speak to me directly, I would say, if I had said something that offended them. And I would actually probably safely assume that most people would prefer that we come and talk to them directly instead of like gossiping about it or mm-hmm. harboring hard feelings about it. I think that we're really, you know, trying from a good place to be good people and be good to each other. And particularly, you know, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we understand the value in creating unifying experiences. And so we don't ever want somebody to kind of feel on the outside of that because of something that we've said or, you know, anything. We don't want to do things that are isolating. So we really value opportunities to come together. And I would say that giving feedback in a situation like that will actually strengthen your relationship. Another one is if you have taught something or somebody has taught something to you that you felt was wrong, that you felt was unclear. Yep. Do you remember I got that feedback I talked about a little while ago where somebody felt that I had taught some cloudy doctrine? Mm-hmm. Another one, there was, I got some feedback as well that, you know, maybe in class, I wasn't what I thought I was creating, what I thought was super constructive, what I thought was good, wasn't necessarily landing the way that I hoped that it would land. And so that was feedback that I got about something that was affecting this person. So if it's affecting you, that could be that it's offending you, it's causing you some stress or anxiety, whatever. Those might be opportunities where it's appropriate to give feedback. Here's the thing though. I think that we're afraid of it because we second guess ourselves. We're like, feedback? Feedback sounds like I think I am in charge of something or like, no. Feedback is dialogue. That's all that it is. And so using the term feedback might even be, we might want to back off of that term and just talk about, hey, I want to chat about something. Mm. And then in our own mind, it becomes much less intimidating. Mm-hmm. But the point of the conversation is to actually share something that we feel, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You're tracking with me?
Yep.
You agree with those reasons for potentially giving feedback?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. And not that it's not difficult sometimes still, but yes.
Oh, it's still going to be hard. So that's the thing. The reason that I feel like that this is a skill worth diving into just a little bit is because so many people struggle with it. And so I want to offer just a few kind of, like I said, concrete things that we can do that might help alleviate some of our stress when we do come across an opportunity where it might be more appropriate to give feedback than it is to harbor resentment or to just kind of swallow our feelings or whatever. Those have negative consequences as well, right? We don't want to have those feelings about somebody else. We don't want to, if, you know, we think about, you know, people who might be sitting in a room where we're teaching and we say something that comes across like, I love the term cloudy, right? Or we even say something that comes across that might be incorrect. Mm-hmm. We have to assume that not everybody in the room is at the same level of understanding that we are. And exactly. So if any person in that room thought that it was cloudy or confusing, then there is a high chance that other people did as well. And so us being willing to, you know, receive that as the teacher, or if we're listening to the class, take that to the teacher, is I think can be so valuable and it doesn't need to be scary. Okay? So you ready to dive in a little bit?
Let's do this.
Okay, here we go. So the first and biggest thing is I think we have to ask ourselves, why are we giving the feedback? So that is a little bit of a heart conversation because mm-hmm. if, you know, for example, we're wanting to give the feedback because we want to show someone that they were wrong or we want to correct them. Right. Even that, I would say, is probably not really a good reason to give feedback. You know, if it is your stewardship, you are the bishop, somebody says something that is not correct over the pulpit to the congregation, yeah, maybe there does need to be an actual correction. But if it's not your stewardship and you are assuming it is your place to go around correcting people, that probably isn't the right intention to start with.
Sure.
Would you agree with that?
I'd agree. Yes.
So check your heart. Make sure that you are giving feedback for the right reasons. What are some good reasons that you
can? I was just about to ask you. So what are some of those right reasons to give feedback, Julie?
Do you want me to answer or do you want to answer first?
Let me try. Okay. Because is that bad?
No, this is supposed to be hard. Like, that's why we're talking about it, is because it's hard.
This is hard. When would I give? Okay, let's say not stewardship. This is just to give feedback.
Not just to give feedback. Remember.
Why would I have a discussion?
Yeah. Like, why would you bring this? Why would you go and initiate a conversation with somebody? Initiate a discussion about something, right? Don't be freaking out in your heart. Why would you? Why would you bother to bring it to somebody's attention if you had some feedback?
I wouldn't. I don't know. This is making this is more difficult for me than I thought it was going to be when you started discussing this. Huh?
Do you want me to give you a couple? Maybe it'll
help. Please, your brain. Please.
Okay. So one of the reasons that in my mind is that we grow together, right? Maybe to strengthen the relationship that I have with that person. Like, if I feel like there's something that is getting in the way of that relationship. So let's say somebody has said something that hurt my feelings, right?
Okay.
In class or something like that. But I really don't want to have hard feelings. Like, then I might go with the intention of that having a conversation about this might actually strengthen our relationship. Another okay. one is that if there is something that was confusing to me, that, and I am a teacher, mm-hmm. then I recognize the value in actually clarifying things. It's not that I'm pointing out that they were wrong, but maybe that there's an opportunity for me to also learn from the conversation about how to better do something myself. Right. So I think that initiating a discussion about something like that is an opportunity for learning on both sides. I also, one other reason where I might feel like it was appropriate to give feedback is if it was someone who, for example, was teaching my children and I was aware of something that they weren't aware of in my kid, or if sure. I was aware of somebody that was sitting in a room and they weren't aware of the scenario, but I knew that what they said might have landed in a tender spot for that mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. then it might be worth pointing sure. out just to create yep. additional there awareness. You go.
I like that. Yeah. I think okay. if it's our kid, that's kind of a stewardship thing as well, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right. But if we, like, I love this last bit that you said, where if we know the circumstances of someone else, and the teacher said something and we're like, whoa, that's not going to land well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would be a good idea to have a discussion with them and say, hey, this is what's going on in this person's life. Just so you know, or maybe not divulge everything, but say, hey, this person is having difficulties with this. Maybe there is a way that we can strengthen that rather than they would have seen that as tearing down. It's not your fault. It just probably would have been perceived that way. Or, you know, I could think of a million different things like that, but mm-hmm. That's well, a great way.
What that makes me think of, for example, is like if somebody points that out to me and I'm on the receiving end of that feedback, I feel grateful for the opportunity to make reconciliation with that person. Yes. I actually had recently an experience where somebody in my class had made a comment and I shut him down pretty hard. And it was interesting because I felt every day that I would kneel down and say my prayers, I was reminded of this experience where I'd kind of shut this guy down. And it was interesting because I actually felt prompted to call him. And so I picked up the phone and I called him and we had a discussion about what had happened, wherein I apologized for shutting him down. And I gave him some feedback about the comment that he was making and the way that he was making it and explained why I had had such a strong reaction to it. And in part, it had to do with some of the things that I was aware of in other people in that same room.
Gotcha.
At the time that sure. he made the comment. And he came back to me just this morning and said, hey, before class started, he's like, hey, I've really been thinking about the conversation that you and I had on the phone. He's like, I'm so glad you called me. He said, I just wasn't even aware that I was saying it in a way that could be perceived as offensive. And he's like, it is so helpful to me to be able to now, you know, implement what we talked about and be more sensitive in the future. He's like, I just really have been thinking about that. And he said he was grateful. And I, the whole time, the only reason that I called him was because I felt bad. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I felt like it opened up an opportunity for me to give him some feedback.
Yeah. So what I'm learning from that is that one great reason to give feedback is to, in this case, it's protect others, mm-hmm. or help others grow in a way that the person leading the discussion may not have known or understood. So really you're trying to help someone else. So
right.
when you see something that goes off of that, you can give feedback to say, hey, this would help more. Just so you know, because we, you know, that's our goal. Where the goal is to help them come closer to Christ. And by doing that makes it more difficult, but this way, so it's more of a help than anything.
Okay. So now you started to kind of give like an example of how you might say it, like in mm-hmm. what you're saying, like, this is why I actually would not recommend the way that you said it.
That's why I stopped.
So let me.
I was saying that, and I was like, yeah, that's not the way I should. That should never be presented that way.
Just go back to intention. Let's just go back to checking our intentions. So another reason that you might give feedback is because you think that it really would bless and benefit not only the people that are in the classroom, but help the person who maybe is receiving the feedback. In other words, everybody is blessed by having that conversation, true. Not to tear down. Yeah. Ever. And so I think that when you're checking your intentions, a big part of it is just so that you can make sure that there's nothing destructive in your brain. Like, you don't want to make them feel bad. You don't want to jab them with something. You don't want to criticize. You don't want to make yourself look good. You don't want to elevate yourself, show off your knowledge. So that those are some reasons that are wrong. Like, you should not give feedback to someone for anything that is self-interested or destructive.
Great.
Okay. So those, yes. I think, are the caveats. And so other things that are building, even if you're not sure that it's the right thing, talking, having a conversation about it, I think will always yield positive fruit if you are coming from a place of love. There is someone in our ward who is really good at giving feedback. And he gives it quite frequently. And it's so interesting to me because sometimes I'm like, dude, why are you even saying anything? And I've started to realize that he can, because he is coming from such a place of love that it is almost always well received. Mm. And so I don't think you're going to go wrong if you're coming from a place of love. So let's kind of go on to the second one and the way that you actually approach feedback. First, you want to remember that you are doing this, like the intent for which you're doing it, but you want to have a shared purpose. So in other words, you don't want to do this because of something that is self-interested, like I said earlier, but what you do want to do is make sure that you and that person share the same purpose. And so if your intention is for this person outside of you guys, like to help, you know, so-and-so, or to help make the classroom setting, you know, the classroom discussions more rich or whatever, that is a shared purpose versus you saying something like, I want it, you know, to, it's very individualistic. I can't even think of an example off the top of my head, but you just want to make sure that it's actually a shared purpose, a reason that you both would be bought into for having the conversation in the first place. And then you start by kind of, you start by sharing something that is not debatable. In other words, you don't lead with your opinion about something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're saying, for example, you know, the other day when I was in your class, I felt like you were extremely aggressive in the way that you presented this topic. The way that you said it was unclear, because you're leading with your judgments, you're leading with your story, basically. You're leading with the things that you perceived, but the way that you perceived them, mm-hmm. and the story that you wrote about them and the labels that you put on it. That's not what you want to lead with. You want to lead with something that's not debatable. So you want to lead with the facts. So for example, hey, when we were sitting in class, and again, this is, you know, just I'm being a little bit remedial in the examples, but we were sitting in class the other day and you said da 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 da. you know, whatever it is, just repeating verbatim what was said. That's not debatable. That's not going to make them emotional. That's not going to make you emotional. There's no emotion on either side attached to it. If you lead with your judgments, that will immediately put them on the defensive. And they're not going to hear what you have to say. They're going to be so focused on trying to defend themselves. So lead with the facts. Then the second part of that is to actually trace your story a little bit from the point of facts to where you landed. So in other words, you kind of start with, okay, this is what was said, and say, and one of the, here's another tip, you always want to talk tentatively. You don't want to talk as though I'm right. Because if you're coming in and saying, right, I'm the authority, exactly, then it again puts the person on the defensive and they all of a sudden feel the need to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about it tentatively and saying something along the lines of, I'm not sure whether I'm the only person that felt this way. I'm not sure that I even heard you correctly. You know, be tentative, be open to the idea that you might not have it right. But then share what your story is. Share what you felt. Share, that's your opportunity to say what's on your heart, the reason that you're actually giving the feedback in the first place. You know, as you said this, it kind of rubbed me wrong. And I've had an experience where and you share why it rubbed you wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then you ask them, can you tell me what you intended? And that is a really important part of it. Mm. So sometimes we think that when we're giving feedback, we're delivering a message that we're right and that our purpose is to deliver that feedback. No, the reason you're going to give the feedback is more so that you start a conversation. And a conversation is two ways. So your main point is not just to tell them what you thought about it. It is equally to hear what they were thinking and why it took place the way that it did. And we skip that ask step a lot. So if you take those three, you're like starting with the facts, right? And then you are sharing a little bit about your story, and then you're asking them to share their story. And you're listening really, really well to what it is that they share back. Let them explain. Part of what happens when people receive feedback is that you'll notice, and we've talked about this idea of emotional air. It's almost like the emotional air gets sucked out of the room and you see that all of a sudden they're like, and they need oxygen, right? And do you remember we talked about this in terms of like air is to the body, what feeling understood is to the heart. And so they feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to help them understand what I meant. Oh, I feel so bad. I need to get it out. And that's part of what starts to happen. And so if you share a little bit of feedback and ask, tell me your story, then that will just remain in check. They won't start getting increasingly anxious or even develop kind of this inability to listen because of the fact that they just feel like they need to get what they have out.
Right, right. That's interesting. That's really good because so I think the classic way of sharing feedback is one person coming up to someone else and saying, can I share some feedback with you? I think that's right.
Totally. Then you give like a sandwich. Here's a compliment. Here's the feedback. Here's another compliment.
Right. Right.
Peace out.
Yeah. And it doesn't land well at all. As soon as you say, can I give you some feedback? Instantly, the person goes on defense. And it's this is what you're doing wrong. This is almost, it may not be this way, but it's sometimes taken as this is me against you.
Totally. It feels adversarial.
Yes. Instead of this is, and what, so as I was writing these down, these different points that you're making, as you mentioned, tracing from, and I wrote down trace from facts to feelings, from what happened to how you reacted to it. I almost saw that if I went and did that, I'm blaming myself.
Like you're taking ownership in a way, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not you, it's me kind of thing, right?
And it's not even though self-deprecating though, and it doesn't even have the intention to be that way. But what it is it's not shifting accountability to that person. You're not saying you made me feel or you did that, and blaming. Instead, it's like, taking responsibility for the story that you wrote in a way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it may very well be my issue that of something that you said, and no one else has that issue. It's just me. And this is the way it took it. I need to understand it more.
Right.
And if it comes out to be that it is feedback on how they're teaching, great. But it may not in the end, because that's not your purpose, right?
Right. Right. You know what's interesting? So there are two kind of ways. So now if I took what I'm talking about right now from Crucial Conversations, and there is a skill called State My Path, and S-T-A-T-E, each stand for something. And so it's like, you know, start with facts, and then T is tell your story, A is ask, and then the last two are about how you do it. One is to talk tentatively, which I mentioned, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then the E is to encourage testing. And so what's interesting about that is when you are telling somebody something, instead of saying something like, okay, and that's it. And you know, how did you feel? Okay, whatever. And then leaving it, you saying to them, I'm actually not sure that I've got it right. You know, I hope you see it differently. I hope maybe you can offer more insight. And when you're talking tentatively, part of it is that you're saying, I don't know that I'm seeing it right. But encouraging testing is actually asking them to not debate it with you, but to discuss it with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something so healthy about being able to have discussions about how we do things. I've received feedback from people before that I didn't necessarily agree with. And when we had a discussion about it, they're like, oh, I can totally see why you do it that way. And it actually ended up being instructive for both of us, but it wasn't that they were right when they came and gave me the feedback necessarily. I've also had it go the complete opposite direction where I'm like, holy cow, I really botched it. And I'm like, you nailed it with that. I am so grateful. That was a total blind spot for me. And so encouraging that testing helps the person that you're dialoguing with to feel safe to say, you know, I saw it differently. Let me explain myself. Like, how often when somebody comes to give us feedback, do we immediately want to explain ourselves?
Oh,
well, part of you delivering that feedback is to frame it in a way that gives them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we think of that when we're going to give feedback. We go, right. I'm going to get, hey, can I share a little bit of feedback with you? And da da da. And then we're like, it is about me sharing. No, it's not actually.
Right. Yeah.
It's about the discussion that can take place when someone gives you feedback or when you give someone else feedback. It is about the conversation.
So like you said earlier, giving feedback may be the wrong verbiage to use because
it actually carries so much weight, right?
You're right.
It's
yeah.
so emotional.
Well, if you think about, if I'm giving you feedback, it's me going blah. Mm-hmm. It's not a discussion.
Right.
And it really ought to turn into a discussion and really be that to be mutually beneficial. But if it's me giving feedback, then I'm going to be the one talking. I'm the one telling you what's right or wrong. And I'm the one who is going to have a discussion with you about this, a discussion, a one-way discussion with you. Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And versus, I think we need to turn that around in our head as to, no, we're having a discussion. This is a mutually beneficial thing.
I honestly would probably rarely to say to somebody, hey, can I give you a little bit of feedback? I would be more inclined to say, hey, can we chat about something for just a quick second? Because that doesn't immediately make them feel defensive. Just is like, hey, I've got something on my mind. And, you know, I really, really love, you know, this class that I'm sitting in. I love how, you know, the conversation has gone in the past. And then, you know, there was this comment the other day that I, you know, and then repeat what the comment was, starting with the facts. Do you remember that? Well, yeah, I totally remember that. Okay, awesome. So let me tell you, and I don't know if it was just me. I don't know if I was having an off day, but like, I would love to hear more about what you really meant by that. My interpretation of it was, can share with me what you were intending for it to be. Maybe I just didn't hear it all. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, poke holes in your own story a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hey, I hear what you're saying and it still isn't landing great. Do you see what I'm saying? Like that, I understand. I think what you're trying to say is repeat it back, right? Is that correct? Give them the chance to correct you. And if you still disagree, then say, you know, I see it differently. Can I tell you why? You know?
That's good.
And maybe that's not right. Like it just really, you have to come from a place of humility and with the best of intentions, or these experiences can become adversarial. The irony is that the opportunity for them to become adversarial is counterbalanced with this beautiful opportunity to actually strengthen relationships and build unity.
There we go.
So you don't want to sacrifice this opportunity to build unity because you're afraid you might botch it or that you might be overstepping or whatever. Instead, just go in with humility and with the right heart and you aren't going to botch it. You may abandon ship halfway through because you realize that you just misunderstood. And that actually a lot of times when you go and have a conversation with somebody about something that you're, you know, offended by or struggling with or whatever, it literally is just a misunderstanding. And so you will never discover that though, if you don't create the opportunity to at least start the discussion, the conversation about it. And sometimes that comes by saying, hey, I want to chat about this. You know, I'd love to give you just, and not give you a little bit of feedback. I'd love to tell you what my experience was or whatever.
Because if we don't do that, if we don't try to understand it, it's possible to let that little grain of sand get in us and just start making things worse and worse. And that turns into something bigger and you start looking for faults and you're going, well, this person, and it becomes a big thing over time and really does not create any unity, but creates discord. And the person may be thinking, what's going on here?
Right. Our stories grow if we don't talk about them, right? If we kind of like hide them, you said a little grain of sand or whatever. I kind of in my brain was like, yeah, it can start to like exfoliate our heart if we're not careful. Mm. Like it can start to get in there and like rub away the good parts of what we are and the good parts of our relationship. I want to give a caveat to this though, because I don't want people to think that it is their charge to go out and give feedback every time something happens. I really do feel, and this is part of starting with the right intentions, that if ever you feel the need to give feedback, you pray about whether or not that's the right thing to do. And you pray to do it with the right spirit, because giving some kind of feedback to somebody, you never ever, you are not in a position to criticize. None of us. That is not the point of us being gathering together every week. It is not the point of us trying to build each other up. It's not so that we can then subsequently tear each other down. It's not so that we, you know, can feel threatened by other people. It's not any of those things. We are trying to get rid of conflict and contention. So you're like, well, then why would you go into a situation and bring up a topic that could potentially create conflict? It's really kind of an interesting line that we walk. Mm-hmm. And the line is that if we feel prompted by the spirit to do it, then we need to take action. Like we need to prayerfully enter a discussion with that person. And the most beautiful thing is that the fruit of that is to actually eliminate conflict, break down barriers in relationships. It can strengthen and unify people in a way that, you know, having easy conversations all the time never will.
Right.
But there is a fine line. And so you have to be so careful. You are not called as the feedback giver in your ward. You are only called by the spirit sometimes. And if something is eating at you, part of it is being willing to go and have a conversation with that person rather than going around to everybody else and having a conversation. And I call that validation seeking. Right? That's not how we should operate in the church, but a lot of times we do.
Right.
We go validation seeking. And so part of this skill set helps us not to do that, but helps us to actually have the courage to have conversations with the right person and not with everybody else. Does that make sense too?
Yes. So if I am taking all this in, if I'm listening to these steps, what is the first thing that you, and I want to try to get better at this, what is the first thing you think I should do right off the bat?
I honestly, so the first thing that you should do when you feel prompted to give feedback, is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel prompted to give feedback, but I may be a little hesitant to do so. What's a baby step that I can take to go beyond what I'm doing right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say a baby step that you could take is actually probably to not label it feedback, right?
Great, yes.
Or label it conversation, but just go initiate a conversation with somebody that you're struggling with. Is that a good baby step?
Yeah, I like that. So
you don't necessarily need to tackle the tough issue right out of the gate. Part of what you might need to do is just give yourself a little bit of comfort talking to that person in the first place. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That may be it right there. I love that because, for example, if it was you, I could come up and say, okay, Julie, what was that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, right? you can give
we're that comfortable
to people that you have a great right. relationship of trust with.
Right.
We're talking about people that it's harder for you to right. maybe talk to, right?
So maybe a baby step with what you said, and I'm putting it into my context really, is that I'm just going to go have a conversation with this person. If it comes up and if I feel comfortable to say something and continue kind of with the next step, great. If not, then because I'll tell you what, sometimes I have gone to someone thinking I need to talk to them about this. Like one of my kids, for example.
Yeah.
I need to talk to them about this and give them some feedback. And I start in the conversation and then I realize I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, it's not the right time.
I'm probably doing this for the wrong reasons. I'm doing this for my selfish reasons. And it's a good check for me. And so we actually never get into that. I don't know. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, maybe if we have the conversation, but we still need to bring up the subject, that it makes it more natural. If we just come from a place of love and we're talking with them, and then it kind of naturally goes into that, which I've had happen before as well. Yep. That is a completely different conversation than just giving feedback.
Oh, totally. I love that you brought that up. It actually made me think of how sometimes the hardest part. So with your kids, it's a little bit different and you have opportunities to have natural discussions with them. And I think sometimes we feel urgency to deliver feedback and we're afraid we're going to forget to teach them this lesson. And so we kind of blah, yes. right? And that's not like it's having the patience and wisdom to make sure that the timing is right and to let it kind of flow naturally. But with someone, for example, who has hurt you, mm-hmm. and you pass them in the halls every week at church, or you have something struggling in your relationship and you literally avoid that person. Maybe a baby step is to say hi to them on purpose.
Sure.
Or to go out of your way to ask them about their weekend or whatever. So part of what we're trying to do, and one of the reasons that we would actually give feedback, so to speak, and we again can give it a number of labels, is because of the fact that something has hurt us or offended us. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the scenarios where I would say that is a really great opportunity to initiate a conversation. And that's one of them where it's just absolutely the hardest. And so you almost have to ease yourself into it. And what's ironic is that all of those feelings that you have pent up as you just try and initiate a conversation about something else and invest in them in some way, sometimes you never even end up having have the conversation because you realize that you had misjudged that person in the first place. Right. And so I think it's important for us to start taking the baby steps, like just starting the conversations and not letting ourselves off the hook because of fear. And then you may find, like I said, sometimes it disappears.
It does. I find that when I, in fact, I was just thinking about this a few hours ago, mm-hmm. and it's kind of come up the last few days, especially about just having conversations and how having a conversation can make things blow over a lot of times.
Yeah.
Or resolve issues or whatever. If we just have the conversation and how powerful that can be. But a lot of times I know I do this and I've seen others do it, but specifically for me, I don't want to have the conversation because I'm not happy with them and I'm a little upset with them.
The feelings grow.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
But no.
You think that you're going to make it worse by having the conversation, but you make it worse by avoiding it.
Right. Right. At least I make it worse for me. They may be in la la land going, nothing's wrong.
Right.
And I'm spinning myself up.
Yeah.
And it's all me. It's all me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But conversations itself can... conversations themselves, their selves.
Conversations can heal. Let's just.
Thank you. Boy, English, whatever.
Whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's, thank you so much, because this has completely changed the way I look at giving feedback. And now I've got to go try to take some of these baby steps and I'm going to report back and try to figure out how to do that.
Good luck to all of us as we do.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Julie. This has been wonderful. Of course, always, if you would like, share, subscribe, leave us a comment. Let us know how your conversations have gone. Not thinking about it as feedback necessarily, but having the conversations and building unity. So let us know, please. Thanks everyone for coming. Take care and we'll see you next time.
Bye.